Well, good morning. Welcome to the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and Mr. Jeff Hale will lead us.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good morning. By way of introduction, I would like to introduce the board members. To my far right is Mr. Greg Giusti from Ukiah, followed by Mr. Bill Massey from Forestville, Mr. John Corbett from McKinleyville, Mr. Jeff Hales on my left from Eureka, and I'm David Noren from Sebastopol. Matt, would you please introduce staff?
Yes, good morning, Chairman Noren, members of the board. I'm Matt St. John, your executive officer. To my right is David Leland, assistant executive officer. Samantha Olson, staff counsel. To my left is Nate Jacobson, who's our new staff counsel. Across from me is Donna Poe, Elena Franceschi, and Patty Corsi, who are helping us on sound and other logistics this morning. Thank you.
Fantastic. We're going to take and do just a bit of housekeeping. We have election of officers, which we do every 2 years. So we're going to go through the process.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Hale.
Well, being that time of the year, that time of our every 2 year career, I want to take the moment to congratulate you on the wonderful job you've done over the last 2 years, and your leadership has been absolutely outstanding. And with that, I would like to nominate Mr. John Corbett to be our next chair.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Mr. Chair, I would like to echo Mr. Hale's compliments to you. You have done just a magnificent job. The role of chair is an important one, and you have filled it absolutely beautifully. Thank you very much. And with that, since we are honoring you such, I don't want you to get away. I would give you a motion to make Mr. Noren the vice chair.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So mote be. You, Mr. Our Chair.
May I say some thank yous as well?
Thank you. And it's Dave, getting a little stale, but I did want to say I think seen a lot of regional boards, a lot of chairs, a lot of different, and I think our chairman did just an outstanding job, and I hope I can do that as well.
Oh. So. And I fully agree. I took over as executive officer under David's chairmanship, and it's been a pleasure kind of coming up to speed as executive officer, working closely with you, David. Thank you very much. And John, I really look forward to working with you in your new capacity.
And I have just very few comments. First of all, the last time I was board chair, when I took over, there was quite a bit of tension with staff, and when we ended up, we were a team. And I think that was very important. And this time we have a great relationship. I want to keep it that way at the end of my term. I did want to say we have an unusually talented and activist board right now, and I think that's a tremendous benefit. So I wanted to reaffirm that the leadership board member Norns had on working on ag subsidies, the Russian River, Laguna TMDL as my full support. We have Bill Massey, his working on the individual sewage septic tanks, Russian River, and the TMDL is also fully reaffirmed. I did want to say the second, the proper authority can be determined. I want to go for a board subcommittee on elk and fresh water with board member Hales and board member Giusti involved in that committee. We have a very complex permit process. We have the goal of getting it done in 1 year, and we have intricate issues of staff timing and where the board is in the decision-making process. And so I think that's the best way to keep things on track and have good communication. So as I said, the second I have authority, that'll get implemented. And the issue is whether the chairman has it or we have to publicly notice it. With that, we'd like to call on board members for ex parte communications they'd like to report.
Mr. Chair, since we last met in at the end of 2013, I have had occasion to speak with both state and local officials regarding West County sewers particularly.
Trying to be on with Rosemond Crowder, Ellen Drell, and Sarah Grusty. They met in my office in Ukiah. I think we have a good representation today that will probably address that same subject during public comment. And then also I had the pleasure of meeting with George Gentry, the executive officer of the Board of Forestry, along with Pete Cafferata and Jose Diaz of CAL FIRE and the board. With Matt and Brian, we were able to discuss some of the wording issues dealing with the Eel, Matole, and Navarro TMDL and site-specific potential shade. I do want to thank Matt and staff. I thought that was an exceptionally productive and positive meeting we had, so thanks for supporting me on that.
And Mr. Chair, like to report that since our last meeting, I've met with a handful of Elk River stakeholders about TMDL process and schedule.
Okay. And Board Member Norton, do you have? And I have nothing to report. This comes, the next agenda item is our State Board Liaison, and we're looking forward to your report.
All right. So let's see, is this working? Great. Well, good morning. My name is Steve Moore. I'm the North Coast Liaison Board Member on the State Water Resources Control Board, and I consider it a real privilege to serve in that capacity. And as folks can imagine, I could probably give you a two-hour report in terms of how much is going on at the State Water Board, but I do want to put a timer down here to keep within a reasonable time amount. And I just want to I'll go over my report in kind of my usual format: the budget, recent activities, upcoming activities, and any kind of legislative action going on that might be of interest to the North Coast Regional Board and stakeholders that are attending. And so with the extraordinary hydrologic year that we're having, I don't want to understate or overstate. I will, in my report, talk about resources the State Water Board is trying to make available to assist Californians through this extraordinary drought year that we're going through. But first, before we get into those details, I wanted to call attention, and you may have heard, the governor's budget change proposals. When we talk about budget of the Water Board system, there are some significant changes proposed, historic level changes that relate to many programs. Just as on a snapshot, currently we have about 1,500 positions. Doesn't mean they're all filled or what have you, but 1,500 positions in the State Water Board and Regional Water Board system. And that is proposed to increase from 1,500 to 1,864. Why so many increases? Well, a lot of that has to do with the governor's proposal to shift the drinking water program, the Division of Drinking Water, from the Department of Public Health to the State Water Board. And that involves about 290 positions. And I've given you some updates about that process, the Drinking Water Task Force, external as well as internal work. And on that topic, we did hold a public hearing on January 15th, where the Secretary of Cal EPA, under which the Water Board system is, particular agency, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, under which Department of Public Health is on the org chart, they had a joint hearing getting input on the proposed move of the drinking water program. And it was about a half a day long. Thanks to the task force efforts, it's my opinion that there's generally strong support for the move. There's still questions that are very valid about the move. But overall, it fits in with a philosophy of integration of water governance functions so that we are, as a state, more able to respond to serious situations such as those that we're encountering today. So there's the drinking water program is the lion's share, but there's also an increase of 10 positions, person years, people, from the general fund to address unmanaged and unsustainable groundwater pumping. And on that topic, we held a day-long hearing on January 22nd on a concept paper that staff of the State Water Board circulated and discussed with focus groups around the state, discussing our work plan for regional board and state board staff to manage groundwater. Not only our traditional programs of dealing with groundwater contamination in its many forms, and then dealing with drinking water source contamination as a very hot topic throughout the state, nitrate contamination, but also grappling with the issues of overpumping of groundwater and the potentially irreversible impacts that can cause, not just to people who rely on groundwater for water supply, but ecosystems that rely on groundwater for base flow and aquatic ecosystem sustainability. So, okay, we got drinking water, we got groundwater, and then another proposed budget increase from the governor is 11 people, 11 positions from penalty funds in the waste discharge permit fund to fund a joint proposal with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to address natural resources damage from marijuana cultivation. So that's 11 people that are discussed about, and obviously this is one of the regions that has shown leadership, working with other agencies. I've been here during those briefings to you. I bring that back to Sacramento, and it's nice to see that, you know, the need is recognized. It's a drop in the ocean, as we say, you know, what, 10, 11 people, but it shows the governor's taking the matter seriously. And, you know, we want to, at the state board, support your efforts at the regional board, the stakeholders in this region, to and your multi-pronged approach. Actually, Mr. St. John made a presentation to us on January 21st and did a very commendable job communicating to the board and to the stakeholders about that multi-pronged approach that you're taking. So, well, and it goes on. We're talking about 12 new people in SWAMP, the Surface Water Ambient Monitoring Program. It has a lot to do with just the field sampling and laboratory services contract, having data management in-house, cultivating in-house talent in the SWAMP program, and all of the data quality assurance functions. You know, it doesn't take away from our contractors that have worked in the SWAMP program and helped it get it up and running. We've offered every opportunity to them to become state employees. Very few have taken that opportunity, if any. And it doesn't even mean you have to live in Sacramento. But at any rate, you know, we're trying to move toward in having internal in-house folks do the year-to-year work. And that was the controversy there, was about having a contract out for doing year-to-year work. You can talk to me personally if you have any more questions. And that goes for anybody in the audience. And then, let's see, other highlights. Oh, there was an audit, as you may recall, on the 401 program, on our wetland permitting program, where we work with the Corps of Engineers and Department of Fish and Wildlife. And the audit identified some key areas where we could make some improvements from a statewide perspective and be more consistent, track our permit conditions and compliance with wetland permits. So it was, I believe, a constructive audit report, and the governor proposes to give us 10 people around the state to address recommendations of the state auditor regarding compliance monitoring and record keeping in the 401 water quality certification program. Okay, well, there's others, but I thought I would just give you an overview of the budget issues, and it's in some regard it's a little overwhelming, but in other ways, it shows the importance of water management, integrated water management in our state, and the state water board. I'm sure you, as the regional board, we all stand ready. We have a state of readiness to take on these issues and really think of them holistically and work with stakeholders, you know, all interests in the state, all people, to better manage our water resources. So, from budget and some other, you know, I talk a little about recent activities, so I've covered some of that. You know, I mentioned Mr. St. John's coming to our board meeting, and that was very helpful. A little topic that I don't know if you've thought about recently. Certainly a lot of communities in the state deal with the issue of, you have maybe a septic system, in your area, and you're contemplating going to sewer system. But it's sometimes hard to tell what the sources of bacteria are. And our toolbox, it's improving, but we rely a lot on the indicator bacteria as our first screening tool. Well, the state recognized this, that we need to help provide more certain information to help us make decisions about such large financial commitments to improve water quality. And the Clean Beaches Initiative, all that funding, the grant funding, we took a slice of that, and I'm pleased to announce, January 21st, we were given a report on the completion of this, what's known as the California Microbial Source Identification Manual. This is, you can download from our website, probably through a link to the agenda from January 21st. And it's a tiered approach to identifying fecal pollution sources to beaches. And beaches include places like the Russian River. It's not just saltwater beaches. And this was a science-based study, but what's nice about this manual, and I've gone through it, is it's tailored to the beach manager. So not just the board staff scientist or, the microbial expert at the local environmental health, although I'm sure appreciate this. But this was written in a way that somebody who's in charge of the state beach can use to set up their sampling program and discern human sources of bacteria versus cow versus, seals versus birds. And so I think this is a landmark achievement. I look forward to seeing it used by communities throughout the state. Last time I spoke with you in December, took a lot of your time talking about the California Water Action Plan. That has been finalized by the governor this week. So the California Action Plan sets the vision for the next 5 years, but also gives a sense of what we need to do in the next 6 months to deal with some of our very serious issues in the state. On January 15th, I talked about we held that joint hearing on the transfer of the drinking water program, and then the January 21st hearing on the groundwater work plan. Now, the groundwater issue, it's such a huge issue in the state. We're the only state in the union, of the United States of America, that doesn't regulate groundwater pumping. Okay, it's a reality. Let's be real. Such a huge issue. But really, what we're doing at the State Water Board is saying, okay, with these staff resources, we just heard, we got 10 more. This is what we're going to work on. We're going to work on, and one of our main purposes is empowering local communities to have the tools they need to manage groundwater sustainably. We're not interested in a takeover and a whole new regulatory program at the state and regional board levels. We want to support sustainable groundwater management that is integrated with other management, stormwater, water supply, recycled water, the whole thing. So we're very explicit about this in this concept paper that we circulated. But everyone's recognizing that there needs to be a state regulatory backstop for efficient and effective groundwater management, just like the other 49 states. And we're very careful to define that role in a way that empowers local management, and that we only step in when local management, for whatever reason, is not able to do it. And then we structure it like a bridge, you know, to the future, hopefully very soon, where the locals can then take over. So we're really interested in engaging folks on those discussions, because we want to be, play a constructive role at the state level. Now, everything, you know, water's on everyone's mind these days throughout the state. I was just down in Santa Barbara. And, you know, one thing to remember with the scarcity we face is that how worse things could be had we not learned from the last two droughts of 77 and 87 through 92. And how much further this year, wherever you are in the state, our water supplies are extending because of those efforts by people when this wasn't such a big issue. To implement water conservation, water recycling, and other measures. You know, we have water efficient dishwashers and washing machines that we didn't have back in the 70s. You know, these things are helping us. Obviously, we have to think about more. And all Californians are feeling the effects of this extraordinary dry year and must conserve dwindling water supplies, whether at home or work or in our industries. But I call on everyone to remember just recently Hurricane Sandy and all the great stories that came out of where my wife comes from, New Jersey, about communities pulling together and dealing with adversity. This drought is California's Sandy. And more than ever, we need to pull together and be creative and help our neighbors deal with water scarcity. So I want folks to remember that when we look around and feel the effects of this. What's the State Water Board going to do? We're going to be making sure that the state's water rights priority system is followed. We're going to urge water diverters to maximize their conservation efforts in these times of shortage. And we say that water users should explore opportunities for flexibility in their systems and work with the State Water Board as well as the Department of Water Resources to make changes that can increase storage as well as the use of alternative supplies such as recycled water. One thing we did do recently that affects folks that are here in the room, it hits home, but it shows what we can do and try to be flexible with the water rights system. Last month, the Sonoma County Water Agency requested a change to their permit conditions to reflect the very dry conditions and low storage levels in Lake Mendocino, which is less than 42% of the available winter supply and 26% of the summer supply. So since the water rights permits for the Sonoma County Water Agency are not controlled by a water quality control plan, like the Bay Delta Plan, for instance, the State Water Board was able to approve the temporary change and adjust permit conditions to reflect current conditions within 2 weeks of submittal. So we turned that around quickly. With this approved change, the Sonoma County Water Agency will be able to hold more water in storage for later release to the Russian River for fish protection and public interest uses. So there, you know, at the state level, we're very acutely aware of the need to move quickly in these extraordinary times. I liken it, you know how an engine might have an operational range, a certain RPM, you know, there's a graph, and then, or a pump, you know, I'm a civil engineer. There's sort of an operational range of head and flow rate. But outside of that range, the pump's ineffective. Similarly, with the Bay Delta Plan and other plans that the state has of water rights, there's an operational range, you know, where we set flow rates to protect fish, to protect water users. But when we're outside of that operational range, we need more flexibility. And that's why we asked the governor to have an emergency order to give us that flexibility. So it doesn't mean, you know, Wild West, you know, all the senior water rights holders will take everything and we're out up the creek, a dry creek. It doesn't work that way. What this does is it gives us the ability to be responsive and really take into account the need to have these water supplies extend far into the summer. You look around now, it's brown throughout the state. This is when it's supposed to be green. So we're already needing to conserve. You can think of it as we're on another, you know, out on a desert planet and making these scarce water supplies last through another summer. We all have to take it extremely seriously. And if we do it together, you know, we can find ways at the state board to be responsive, to modify our regulatory requirements to enable creative thinking. So we're very acutely aware of that. To help folks out, we've established a website, a web page that you can click to right on our homepage. It's a State Water Board Drought Year Water Actions. It talks about programs like the Water Transfer Program, temporary urgency changes, such as the one that we approved for Sonoma County, as well as notices of water availability, one of which we've been sending out notices of potential curtailment, not just to junior water right holders, but senior water right holders, even pre-1914 and riparian right holders, because it's that serious this year, that we have let folks know, is trying to do the distant early warning, that by April 1st, curtailment of water diversions are likely, unless we get a miracle March like 1991. So there's links on the website where you can learn about the pending requests and actions that the State Water Board is taking. This is an example. On January 22nd, we sent a notice of potential the notice of potential curtailment of diversion of water under certain water rights within the Scott River watershed in Siskiyou County. So this is a serious time we're in. It's a time where crisis can provide opportunity. It's a time when these circumstances can really bring people together. And I hope we do that and that we emerge with a greater understanding and appreciation for how precious water is to people. Moving on, the legislature is actively looking at what's known as AB 1331. It's a potential water bond that may be brought before the voters. It's AB 1331. We're actively involved in looking at this, the details of it, you know, which sets up criteria for how funding will be done under a potential water bond that would have to be approved by the voters throughout the state. It'd be like a Prop 84 or a Prop 50 kind of thing. And we've gone line by line within the proposed law. And we've identified some areas where we think the state board thinks, let's amend this and then we can support this. This package, and it's not extensive, but there's some things where we really want to focus, and just to give you a glimpse into that process, I even provided specific language myself dealing with integrated water management, and this is where I think I'm speaking in concert with my fellow board members. You know how we are. We don't like to speak for our other board members, but I've heard them say things enough where I'm confident that the State Water Board, the five of us, are interested in focusing on implementing multi-benefit water projects, you know, water quality, water supply, flood control, you know, fish and wildlife, groundwater recharge, you know, beautifying our communities with green infrastructure, all those things, the multi-benefits, and that help communities extend water supplies and protect aquatic ecosystems in times of drought like these. And with that, I've taken up a lot of time, but I hope it gives folks a sense of how serious we're taking this, but not as a sky-is-falling approach. This is where we all come together and show the world what California is capable of. Thank you.
Board member questions, and we'll start on the left and move to the right.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. I want to thank you personally for you've always championed our region and have had an awareness of what our needs are. Particularly, I want to say thanks for being proactive with our drought situation. We're in a critically dry water year, and the fact that the state's moving forward and not waiting until April because it's too little too late at that point and taking protective measures now, particularly with letting diverters know, that's a huge step. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Steve, I got to ask you, being the eternal optimist and thinking about rain, I got to ask you about the industrial stormwater permit. Can I ask, where is that on the state board agenda?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, it wasn't. Yeah, it's definitely on the agenda. I mean, I've got the same question. You know, it's overdue. I didn't feel like in my staff briefings there were any really thorny issues. You know, I thought we dealt with a lot of operational issues for the regulated community. So I don't see delays in that.
Do you know if that's calendared?
It's not calendared, but it's this spring.
Okay. You know. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Board Member Massey.
Mr. Chair, thank you. First, Mr. Noren, we have to have a storm. Then we can have a industrial plan. Thank you, Steve, for a very comprehensive understanding of things. I would note, one, AB 1331 is the assembly version of it. Without getting into a political fistfight, over in the Senate, Senator Wolk of Napa has proposed almost a 180-degree difference. Have you had a chance to look at those?
Yeah, I don't know that it's too diametrically opposed. I think there's a there's an understanding that the two bills will be reconciled, and so I haven't reviewed that one. Maybe it's the AB 1331 was the first one out of the gates. I can't explain that exactly, but it's my understanding that the legislature understands they need to get this thing in, you know, mm-hmm. in the can, you know, complete by May or early June at the latest if they want it on the ballot. And to do that, the reconciliation needs to occur.
I think the thing that is significant in for the North Coast, 1331 does not do a great job of taking care of small systems. It is Delta-centric, which is perhaps appropriate, but we need a little bit of representation in there and a little bit of assistance on the North Coast. So
yeah.
I think that's from this region's perspective. Thank Good. You. And Good. Thank you for doing all of this.
No, it's thank you for making that comment. It's great.
Just one other question. We realize why it's Delta-centric, and that's been a California conundrum from when the governor first was in office. I wanted to ask you whether you feel the funds are secure in there for the portion of the state commitment on the Klamath Hydro and the Klamath Restoration Agreements. Last time I checked, there were provisions that would cover that, and the very good news is there's a chance you might not have to spend any money, but if you don't put it in there and don't have the money, that could be a bigger problem.
It's a good question. I don't remember there being, you know, the specific carve out. You know,
well, as you know, they don't ever quite. They always hide the ball a little bit in the legislature there. If you could inquire, that would be helpful.
It's good. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, this is something that's not off our radar. You know, the Klamath is California's second great river, and to the State Water Board, it's front and center. You know, we have some updates in the latest executive director's report on where the water quality certification is from PacifiCorp. You know, there was meetings by the monitoring program, the K-bump, that we're tracking. And then, of course, the task force that's being spearheaded by the senators from and the governor of Oregon.
Right.
But a point well taken. You know, the Klamath can't be left off the water bond. It won't be.
And the good news is some of the studies indicate that it may be cheaper than originally anticipated, in which case California might have to contribute only zero. But if you don't have it in there, it could be a problem to the
good.
Agreement.
No, that's something I'd be happy to bring back.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. And we really appreciate the length. The issues were extremely significant. The next item.